from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm John Sepulveda. Coming up on Forum, we're going to get the latest on the devastating campfire, including the now 63 dead and more than 600 missing or unaccounted for. And with public schools and many colleges across the Bay Area closed today because of the air pollution from the campfire, we want to hear from you. How are you coping with this smoke day? Then at 9:30, former commander of Allied troops in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, joins us to discuss his new book, Leaders, Myth and Reality, which taps into McChrystal's 34 years in the Army to uncover what makes a good leader.
I think we want our leaders to make us feel better, but more importantly, I think we want our leaders to make us better.
That's coming up after this news. Welcome to Forum. I'm John Sepulveda, and today for Mina Kim. Public schools across the Bay Area and many colleges are closed today with pollution from wildfire smoke yesterday. The worst in the world. That is no hyperbole. The charts show it very clearly. And we want to hear from you. Tell us, how is the smoke affecting you? How are you coping? What are you doing to keep your kids entertained for long periods of time indoors? We want to hear from you. Call us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. But first, we are going to get the latest news from the campfire with KQED reporter Peter Arcuni, who is in Chico. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, John.
Tell us, we heard 63 people have died. We know that about more than 600 are still missing. Do we have any updates on this search for people and where they might be?
Not really in terms of that number, but it did skyrocket yesterday. At a briefing last night, they talked all about it. At one point, the number was in the 200s, then it was down below that, and then it just skyrocketed up to 631 as the number of people unaccounted for. The Cal Fire PIO, Steve Coffin, did stress that this may be slightly exaggerated because they are, they're not being conservative. They want to get as much information out as possible. So if they have doubles or if people, have reported into their families but not reported to Cal Fire, they're not crossing anybody's name off the list. They want the efforts to just continue to find as many people as possible.
Well, I hope that is the case, that a lot of these folks are just doubled up when it comes to actual counting. But for the folks who have survived the fire, this has been tough. We've heard about the norovirus outbreaks at the different shelters. We know that, as you reported on the California report this morning, that people are having a hard time just doing regular things like paying for a meal or finding ways to get their prescriptions, which come through the mail. What are you seeing on the ground level as people are trying to live their lives literally in a haze?
Yeah, I think a lot of the people that I spoke with yesterday were just trying to get through the day and, was asking them things about the norovirus and about the president's visit. And it seemed to me, just my perspective, was that they couldn't really talk about that. Their priority was, where am I going to stay? 52,000 plus people have been displaced. There's not enough shelters. There's not enough room for them really anywhere. I did catch up with a few people at evacuation centers, though, whose homes hadn't been destroyed, and they were just itching to get back. So here's one evacuee that I spoke with, Donna Broughton, who was staying at the neighborhood church shelter in Chico.
As far as we know, our home is still standing. It was the other day. Oh, I will go back. Yeah,
she's stubborn. She'll go back.
I'm ready to go back right now. They just let me get up there.
Stubborn, determined. That I really have to appreciate their spirit, their attitude. But I would imagine not everyone is feeling perhaps as positive. I know you put a lot of people together in hard situations. There can be a lot of bad feelings among people. Are we starting to see any of that at these evacuation centers?
I haven't. At the neighborhood church yesterday, the vibe was very positive, as much as it could be. They were dealing with the norovirus outbreak. They had a whole separate section I wasn't allowed into for isolation for that. So that was one of the challenges. But on the ground there was a lot of camaraderie. Donna, who we just heard from, her grandkids are staying there with her. And you know, and I saw, you know, some of the Red Cross people, you know, letting them pet their dog, and apparently, you know, one of them had taught this 12-year-old boy how to balance a peacock feather on his nose. So, you know, I think everybody is trying as much as they can, you know, amidst all this tragedy, to keep some sense of normalcy. And especially for the kids involved.
You know, I heard our colleague Lily Jamali earlier this week was at an evacuation center, and she said that this was the place where a toddler learned to use the big person's toilet because they had no other choice. And so it was very strange, and both uplifting and strange, to have this major milestone be hit under such unfortunate circumstances. It also shows the resiliency of people. And I'm curious about the resiliency of first responders. We know that in Southern California, a fire broke out right after a mass shooting. It caused a lot of problems for first responders, a lot of organizational problems at first. How are first responders and folks who are running these shelters, how are they coping?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, I didn't ask that directly, from anyone, but, you know, I did see people out, you know, they're working in shifts, and they're just trying to keep their spirits up.
Yeah. I would imagine they're probably doing just about as anyone can, which is, it's very difficult to breathe. Before we let you go, Peter, tell us a little bit about the actual air quality there and what people are doing to mitigate that.
Yeah, it's just awful. So the air quality index here in Chico, where I'm staying, is at 322, that's well into the hazardous range. When I arrived yesterday, you know, I opened my door and ash was basically being sucked into my car. I was just over at City Hall, and the steps, you know, had ash on it. So the particles are in the air, and they're just urging everyone to stay inside, to keep their masks on. I mean, you can feel it when you go out. Your breath is just sucked out of you. Yes, they're just saying people should stay inside. They need to wear their masks, and they need to not exert themselves.
And what are you doing to make sure that your mask and your respiratory system is doing the best it can under these circumstances?
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can, John. Thank you for asking. I have a P100 mask, which helps filter out the particles. So there's two masks that they're recommending. The N95s are what a lot of the folks have. But the P100s will do that extra step of really keeping the particles out. So, you know, I'm just doing my best like everyone else. And, you know, surprisingly or not, I've seen a bunch of people with masks, and I've seen a lot of people, you know, including rescue crews, you know, not wearing masks that are walking around the streets.
Your adorable daughter and your wife are in San Francisco right now while you're out reporting?
That's right, and I learned that her preschool was canceled today, all the way in San Francisco. You know, but I spoke with them last night on FaceTime, and you know, after a hard day of reporting, you know, it was really nice to just touch base with them and know that they were okay. You know, we have our HEPA filters cranking in our apartment, so you know, fingers crossed.
You're a good dad and a good reporter. Thank you, Peter Arcuni.
Thank you, John.
Well, let's go now to Ted Goldberg, who joins us in studio. Ted, we were hearing about the air quality conditions of 322 in where Peter's at up in Butte County. What are we looking at here in the Bay Area?
So it's not as bad as it is in Chico, but it's the worst it's been that I can ever remember. I mean, I was looking at some of the categories that the Bay Area Air Quality Management District holds, and we are, you know, a significant portion of the Bay Area is in the unhealthy to very unhealthy sort of categories, and then a couple of areas in Contra Costa County, and San Pablo, and then in Solano County, Vallejo, they are actually, you know, 250, 280. They're getting close to that category that Peter was just talking about, hazardous.
So it's almost like there's no relief in the 9-county Bay Area.
I think there are some portions in the very South Bay that are not quite as bad, but I just spoke actually a little while ago with our colleague Peter John Schuler, who is reporting in the Peninsula, and he told me it was very bad down there. So I think this is really, really widespread.
And, you know, I'm going to ask you, just as I asked Peter, you have two children. They are home from school. What are they doing today?
So my wife is trying to figure out where to take them inside that they can run around. I know that she's working with some of her, you know, her friends to try to get get them to other places. It sounds like it's a real puzzle. They're going to try to go to an inside jumpy area to hopefully, you know, get it out.
Well, you're going to owe your wife one hell of a back rub. We want to hear from you. Tell us, how is the smoke affecting you? How are you coping? Please share your tips for avoiding cabin fever and entertaining kids indoors, just as Ted Goldberg was talking about his own wife and how she's trying to find a bouncy, I don't know, what do you call that, bouncy castle facility? Call us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Let's go now to our first caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Marco.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What are you doing?
We're driving the kids up to Nevada. Hopefully it's clear on the other side of the mountains.
Okay, and that's a long trip. Are you seeing a lot of people on the roadway? Are you driving right now?
We're driving right now. I'm not driving.
I'm a
passenger.
Good. I'm glad to hear this, Marco. Safety first. All right, so yeah, what are you doing to keep your... Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead. What are you doing to keep the kids entertained on this long car ride?
Well, one's on his phone and another one's reading a book.
So just like home, I would imagine.
Just like home, pretty much, yeah.
And how long are you gonna stay, and how can you afford it? Do you have the financial ability to be able to stay in another place for that long?
Yeah, I have a house that I can stay at up there. My dad has a house up there that's not being used, so it's not going to cost us anything but gas.
Well, you're very blessed indeed. Marco, thank you so much for sharing your story. I wish you good luck. And stay away from the gambling tables while you're in Reno. I'm saying that from personal advice.
I'll see if I can pull that one off.
All right, let's go to the next caller. Caller, you are on the air. Hello. Claire.
Hi, this is Claire in Oakland.
Hi.
And I have a 3-year-old, and we're in today, but I'm also a preschool teacher, so I just wanted to call in and share a few things.
Okay.
I know everybody's in with their children, and it has been really hard for teachers in this last week that they've been entertaining lots of children indoors in classrooms. And I just have a perspective that while this is really hard for each of us individually as parents, it might be inside, that I'm sure for so many of us, for me, it really inspires just going back to these basics of gratitude for our safety, for our children, and just for the opportunity to just be with them. And it's just increased my patience a lot just to feel this gratitude of, you know, this circumstance being so fatal and dire and just destructive and terrible for so many people. So I just feel it's a very uniquely tragic opportunity to be close to the ones we love and just kind of really focus on the kids. So I stopped trying to get anything done.
Okay.
And I'm just talking with her and allowing her, allowing myself to just engage in her play all day, which is different, because typically maybe we would expect children at some point to be playing on their own or to be making choices for themselves and to be entertaining themselves. But yeah, we've got a lot of library books. I've made her some Play-Doh. I'm trying to involve her in everything that I'm doing, whether it's cooking or, whatnot. She's 3.5 years old, but I've even given her the opportunity to just be on my back for a piggyback ride or snuggle in bed with me at any point. It's a really different kind of day and circumstance, or days on end, really. And I'm just grateful to be with her. So I just wanted to share with that.
Claire, I'm so happy to hear that. I hope you have a healthy rest of the days that you have to be together. It sounds like you're making some really, really special memories. So I'm glad to hear about that. Thanks for sharing that, especially in all the smoke.
Yes, thanks. I wish everyone really well.
Thank you, Claire. We're going to go now to Daniel in Milpitas, Kristen in San Mateo. Kristen, are you there?
I am, yes.
All right. And you're telling us that you know of a great place to take the kids. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I have a 3.5-year-old, and all the preschools down in the peninsula are closed, and so one of the moms has suggested Tanforan Mall in San Bruno.
Okay.
And we went yesterday and today, and it's awesome. It's perfect for toddlers. There's indoor little kind of jumpy places called Hop and Play, and all these little areas that are just super kid-friendly, and it's on the first floor right outside the Target, so just right at Tanforan Mall. There's these, like, cute little mechanical animals that you can, like, ride around the mall in. Santa's already there, so it was just a really awesome way to fill up some hours and hang out together and have some fun.
And Kristen, I got to ask, you're not an employee of the mall or something trying to plug it, get some of those extra dollars to that mall,
no,
are you? Okay.
I'm not. I was a super grateful mom, just going there and having fun inside. And I actually am one of those moms who really doesn't like to go inside malls with my kids at all. And I want to be outside hiking and playing and going to the park. And it's been really hard to say, like, no, we can't do any of that. So for someone who's not big into malls and playing inside there with kids, I would recommend it right now.
Definitely a spin on what we normally see early morning in the malls, which are groups of senior citizens walking around in many malls around the country. Kristen, thank you so much for sharing that. Ted Goldberg, it looks like we found a place for your wife to take on the bouncy bouncy equipment.
I'll pass that suggestion along. Yeah. You know, the other day I took my kids where we normally go after school. We went to a playground, and it was so eerie to see no one at the playground, nobody in the softball fields. It's actually striking to them, you know, to see sort of this whole place abandoned. I know that one of our reporters was in touch with the Rec and Park Department in San Francisco, and, you know, anecdotally they're seeing a large drop in the number of people, you know, outside. And, you know, people are flooding to places like the Academy of Sciences.
And that's what I was going to actually ask you, because London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco, said that the city recs department is going to stay open. At least that's what she's tweeted out as of yesterday. What other measures is the city doing, especially for those low income residents? We've heard from a lot of people who have the money to go to Reno, or they have the ability to really spend that time with their child. But there are a lot of parents who don't have that ability because of financial difficulties.
Well, I've seen that the main library is a good place to go to. I've also seen that the San Francisco Department of Homelessness and Housing has expanded the number of shelter beds, and they have some teams, I think, that are going around to people on the streets, making sure they have masks, checking in on them. Mm-hmm. I will also say this. I was assuming that in places like San Francisco and other counties that we would see a large spike in people going to emergency rooms and complaining of breathing problems. We've spoken to some county health officials in Sonoma County, Marin County. They've said they've seen a slight uptick, but in San Francisco, as of this morning, they're not seeing a major increase. A county official told me that they hoped that was because people are sort of abiding by these instructions to stay inside. You bring up a good point. A lot of people can't stay inside. I know San Francisco and a number of other cities are, their transit agencies are offering free transit. That means that bus drivers for Muni and AC Transit and SamTrans and VTA, they all have to be out in the elements.
And in fact, we're across from a major bus depot, and we saw drivers leaving with masks. Another thing I saw this morning, and there's a lot to be said about maybe questions about the way Starbucks does their business, but I was really appreciative to see them handing out masks to homeless people this morning and giving them free coffee. We're going to go now to our next caller, Amanda from San Francisco. This has not been as good of an experience for you.
No, I'm not originally from San Francisco, and so I am, like, coughing all day. I'm using an inhaler, which I've never had to use. And I tried preventing this by buying a mask, but all the stores are sold out. So I ordered some online, and I'm just painfully waiting for them.
I do want to ask,
this is a public forum, if you know any programs or events going on in the city where we can help, because I would love to help out. Like, it sucks being in pain from all this.
Amanda, I'm so sorry you're in pain. And I know that I was talking to folks here at KQED this morning, and they were talking about the sore throats, you know, the nose. I know when I got off the plane, because normally I'm in Southern California now, when I got off the plane, I was like choking on the air. It was noticeable right away. Ted, is there a website that we can direct Amanda to, or other people who might want to help? Do you know?
I think that our digital folks have been doing some stuff online, but I don't specifically know right now. But that's actually a good point that you bring up. We should make sure that we highlight that.
Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much. I'm sorry I can't answer your question now. Keep listening. Maybe someone else who is calling in can. And I hope that you get no more iller than you are right now. Victor, we're going to go. Oh, pardon me. Maggie in Petaluma. Maggie, I understand the air is a little bit better in Petaluma than based on the maps I'm seeing. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it is. But the schools have been closed here a lot. My son actually goes to school in Novato.
But
we're lucky that I actually have adult children who are in between places, and they're about to move to New York. And I also have my daughter who teaches in Marin. And last night we spent all night playing games together, board games.
Okay.
And we've been going to the movies a lot. So, although last year at this time, my 14-year-old son, then 13, we spent the whole week in the fairgrounds helping out refugees from the fires here. This year, we're spending a lot of time together, and it's been actually really heartwarming for us in this transitional time for my adult children to spend time together and be thankful.
Well, I want to thank you, Maggie. That's something we've heard, that this is actually, some people are looking at this as a chance for a moment of gratitude. I agree with you. Gratitude is important. Thank you for sharing what you're doing. I want to read this listener comment. They tweet, as always, San Francisco Public Library has our backs. We have a few books and there's some streaming movies we might finally get around to watching on the San Francisco Library services. Another listener tweets, I saw many homeless people sleeping on the street in San Francisco today with neither masks nor tents. Their potential deaths are far more urgent than how wealthy Bay Area folks are amusing themselves indoors. We agree with you that we're trying to look at all people who live in our community, as this is our community. James says he is coping. He tweeted at me. He says he's moving the air purifier into whatever room he's in. He's keeping the cats inside all day. He's hydrating. He's focusing on work. And instead of taking walks on breaks, he's cleaning the house. Jeff tweets, we brought a couple of 20x20 air filters. These are the kind that you put in the air conditioning HVAC systems. Tape them to the box fans and keep them running 24 hours and 7 days a week. Ted, just very quickly, what has the mayor said about homeless folks?
Well, I know that what I mentioned before is that they were going to just sort of try to keep better tabs of them, have teams that go out and check in on them, make sure that they're masked. I will say this. We have reached out to the Department of Housing and Homelessness today. So we're going to try to find out exactly, you know, how many people are really in need and what that situation is all about right now.
Yeah. And to those listeners asking, we do recognize that, you know, the Bay Area is not just filled with one type of person. There are many, and that's why we want to hear from them. Of course, many folks who are houseless, they might not even be able to hear this program at this moment, although we would love to get their voices on, and we will search to get their voices on. We're going to go now to our next caller, Tom in Sacramento. Tom, you're about 2 hours away from where I'm sitting. Tell me that the air quality is better there.
It's AQI 190, which is pretty bad.
Tom, that's not good news. What are you doing to stay inside?
Well, here's my question.
Okay.
Earlier this week on forum, one of your air experts from Berkeley said that older houses were 85% as bad inside as outside. So my question is, why are we closing schools? If schools could at least have filtered HVAC running continuously, being inside just isn't that much better for a typical house.
Tom, great question. This is actually something we heard from other people, too, that and for many people, this crisis, they would be better served by going to school. Why is this?
You know, it's interesting. I spoke to an official at the Santa Clara County Office of Education yesterday, and I said, are you guys even considering closing the schools? This is what's been going on in a number of other districts. And she said, we cannot close the schools because we are a place of refuge and home for so many kids that if we close, where are they going to go? They may be forced to go outside.
And not only that, but a lot of kids get their meals through the schools.
I mean, yeah. In many respects, our schools have become sort of safety nets for our own society. I know that it took a little while for San Francisco Unified to make this kind of decision, and that there are debates. Many parents don't want the kids to not be able to go to school because they feel like that's a good place to be.
There's going to be a lot of questions in hindsight about how the city and other officials have handled this. Just a quick reminder, San Francisco MoMA, if you are in San Francisco, is open. You can get on the second floor of the permanent collection. Go see some art if you have that ability. I'm John Sepulveda. Stay with us.